Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Raymond Lifestyle Limited Q2 FY26 and H1 FY26 earnings conference call, hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhijeet Kundu from Antique Stock Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. On behalf of Antique Stock Broking, I would like to welcome all the participants in the Q2 FY26 and H1 FY26 conference call of Raymond Lifestyle Limited. Today, we have with us from senior management of Raymond Lifestyle Limited, Mr. S.L. Pokharna, who is President, Corporate Commercial, Mr. Amit Agarwal, Group CFO, Mr. Jatin Khanna, Head Corporate Development, Mr. Vishal Raigagla, Interim CFO, and Mr. Sunny Desa, Head Investor Relations. Without taking further time, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Amit Agarwal. Over to you, Amit.
Thank you, Abhijeet. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our second quarter fiscal 26 and first half fiscal 26 results conference call. On behalf of the entire management team, I would like to take a moment to wish you all a very happy Diwali and a prosperous New Year. May the Festival of Lights bring you and your families great health, happiness, and prosperity. I hope everyone had a chance to review our financial results and investor presentations, both of which are available on the stock exchanges and our company website. Moving ahead, it is essential to consider the broader macroeconomic landscape that has influenced the performance and strategic decisions of the company. In terms of macroeconomic conditions, second quarter fiscal 26 unfolded amid global volatility as geopolitical tensions and shifting trade policies continued to challenge exporters. Despite these heavy headwinds, the Indian economy is projected to grow at 6.8% GDP for fiscal 26, compared to an earlier estimate of 6.5%, driven by improved domestic demand and recent policy reforms on account of GST rationalization and income tax reforms. However, uncertainty around U.S. tariff policies and global cost pressures continue to warrant a cautious stance. The company remains focused on operational efficiency and strategic expansion, balancing optimism with prudence as it navigates a complex macroeconomic landscape. On the trade front, thanks to the India-U.K. Free Trade Agreement, Indian textile and garment exports are to enjoy zero-duty access for virtually all 99% of their products. This landmark trade deal is expected to fuel substantial long-term growth in the sector. Raymond Lifestyle is well equipped to seize the opportunity despite the gradual nature of supply chain realignment. Its strong brand equity and proven export capabilities provide a decisive advantage. The recent income tax reductions introduced in Budget 2025 are expected to enhance disposable income and uplift consumer sentiment, creating a favorable environment for the business growth and demand recovery. We view this tax relief as a key catalyst for volume-led growth in the coming quarters. In addition to that, the GST rate reduction on select apparel with prices below 2,500 is likely to further stimulate demand, particularly with mid-tier and value-driven segments. Early indicators point to a positive shift in consumer behavior, with rising footfall across key retail zones. For Raymond Lifestyle, this presents a good opportunity to recalibrate its offering and accelerate volume-led growth across both urban and tier two or three markets. With global uncertainties and trade barriers still impacting negatively the exports, domestic demand is projected to stay strong. The momentum will be further boosted by supportive government measures like GST and income tax cuts. India is at a unique inflection point, ready to strengthen its position through smart policy and resilient markets. Raymond Lifestyle is strategically aligning itself to leverage these changes, ensuring it remains agile amid global volatility. Now, let me talk to you about the performance for the second quarter. Raymond Lifestyle reported highest second quarter revenue on the back of strong domestic performance led by volume growth in the branded textile and branded apparel segment amidst international headwinds. It also reported a total income of 1,865 crores, a year-on-year growth of 8% with an EBITDA of 259 crores with an EBITDA margin of 13.9% in second quarter of fiscal 26. The EBITDA growth of 7% year-on-year really underscores our efficiency. We generated more leverage from our operations thanks to an increase in volume and an improved product mix. This growth came even after we made the strategic decision to increase our advertisement spends. Also, the growth was partially offset by a softer quarter for our export international operations, as the pressure was felt from the recent US tariff actions. As far as first half performance is concerned, the total income stood at 3,340 crores in the first half of fiscal 26 versus 2,985 crores in the first half of fiscal 25, a year-on-year growth of 12%. The EBITDA stood at 381 crores in the first half fiscal 26 versus 331 crores in first half fiscal 25, a year-on-year growth of 15% with a margin of 11.4% compared to 11.1% in the previous year respectively. As far as the segmental performance goes, in terms of our branded textile segment, the revenue grew by 10% to 937 crores in second quarter fiscal 26 as compared to 854 crores in second quarter fiscal 25, mainly on account of festive season leading to volume growth and strong bookings as compared to the previous year. EBITDA grew by 15% to 188 crores in second quarter fiscal 26 as compared to 161 crores in second quarter fiscal 25, with EBITDA margin reaching up to 20% in second quarter fiscal 26 versus 18.9% in second quarter fiscal 25. In first half fiscal 26, this segment generated 1,653 crores in revenue, a 17% year-on-year growth from 1,419 crores in the first half of 25. EBITDA also grew by 35% year-on-year, reaching to 290 crores in the first half fiscal 26 compared to 215 crores in the first half 25. The EBITDA margin stood at 17.6% in the first half 26 versus 15.2% in the first half FY25. This performance was predominantly on account of improved product mix and strong volume growth. Now, in terms of our new fabric portfolio which we have enlarged, our suiting and shirting portfolios are defined by luxury, innovation and versatility. The premium suiting segment features four different lines: Venizo, a super 130s wool-rich blend for refined elegance; Royal Soft, a heritage-inspired pure wool collection celebrating 100 years of craftsmanship with rich jacketing shades; Super Lux, an exceptionally fine super 200s wool-rich blend for ultimate sophistication; and Drape Coat, featuring advanced bio-polished super 140s and 120s merino wool for enhanced durability and easy care convenience. Meanwhile, our shirting collection includes wool vans offering super comfort and breathability in pure wool and wool cotton blends for both formal and casual settings, and Denigma, a dynamic new line blending premium shirting with contemporary design aesthetics through printed and yarn-dyed fabrics to deliver durability and fashion-forward style. Now, let me talk about the branded apparel segment, where the revenue grew to 491 crores in second quarter for fiscal 26 as compared to 441 crores in the same quarter last year, reflecting a growth of 11% year-on-year basis. The growth was witnessed across all brands, key channels such as EBOs, MBOs and online. The segment reported an EBITDA of 25 crores in the second quarter of fiscal 26 as compared to 57 crores in second quarter of fiscal 25, with an EBITDA margin of 5.2% in the second quarter of fiscal 26 versus 13% in second quarter of fiscal 25 on account of increased marketing spend and input cost and lower sales achieved and new stores which were opened in the last 12 months. In the first half of FY26, this segment generated 861 crores in revenues, a 16% year-on-year growth from 744 crores in the first half FY25. EBITDA stood at 44 crores in the first half 26 as compared to 72 crores in the first half 25. The EBITDA margin stood at 5.1% in the first half fiscal 26. Our ongoing drive for optimization of our retail network continues in order to ensure our retail footprint is precisely aligned with our long-term growth and profitability objectives. As of 30th September 2025, our store count was 1,663 stores vis-a-vis 1,592 stores in September 30th, 2024, a net increase of 71 stores. We opened 19 stores and 31 low-performing stores were exited during the quarter. We have exited 66 low-performing stores during the first half of fiscal 26. The recently opened stores are expected to take some more time to reach full maturity. In terms of Ethnix by Raymond, which now operates a robust network of 139 stores across India, during the quarter we also opened 3 new stores and closed 4 low-performing stores. Now let me talk about the garmenting export segment. During the quarter, reported revenue stood at 269 crores in second quarter fiscal 26 as compared to 260 crores in the same quarter previous year, reflecting a growth of 4% year-on-year despite continued uncertainty on account of US tariff announcements. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 5.3% in second quarter fiscal 26 versus 9.6% in second quarter fiscal 25. Impacting due to US tariffs and thereby reduce margins on the US business. In the first half fiscal 26, this segment generated 466 crores in revenue from 512 crores in the first half fiscal 25. The EBITDA was at 47 crores in the first half of 26 compared to 34 crores in the first half 25. The EBITDA margin stood at 1.5% in the first half 26 versus 6.6% in the first half 25. Now let me talk about the high-value cotton shirting segment, which reported a revenue of 212 crores in second quarter fiscal 26 as compared to 228 crores in the second quarter fiscal 25, a 7% year-on-year degrowth on account of subdued demand primarily from the export markets. The segment reported an EBITDA of 25 crores in the second quarter of fiscal 26 as compared to 22 crores in the second quarter 25, with an EBITDA margin of 12% in the second quarter of 26 versus 9.7% in the second quarter FY25. This growth was predominantly on account of improved product mix. In the first half FY26, this segment generated 416 crore in revenue from 414 crore in the first half 25. The EBITDA stood at 45 crores in the first half 26 compared to 32 crores in the first half 25. The EBITDA margin stood at 10.8% in the first half FY26 versus 7.8% in the first half 25. Now let me talk about the balance sheet side, where the company has a net debt of 246 crores as of second quarter, as of 30th September 25. The net working capital stood at 105 days in September 25 compared to 97 days in September 24. This sequential increase was planned mainly due to the inventory buildup in the expanded retail and distribution network for meeting the festive season demand and wedding and also from the export business. We remain committed to optimizing net working capital for improved financial agility. Looking ahead, we continue to be on track to mark FY26 as the year for our recovery phase, even as global uncertainties continue to weigh on export performance. Domestic demand is seen strong, providing a strong foundation for growth. We remain well positioned to navigate volatility and capitalize on emerging opportunities within the Indian market. We appreciate your continued support and engagement as we navigate the opportunities ahead. Thank you once again for joining us today, and we look forward to addressing any questions you may have.
Operator. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, good evening and thanks for taking my question. My question is particularly on the ethnic format. Now, store count is at 139. I was just looking up as to, you know, what these numbers were. And I just see that you've added around 25 stores in the past 1.5 years. This is considerably lower than our initial expectations in this format. In fact, last two quarters we've seen some 20 plus store closures. Can you point out the pain points here that are being faced and what are the plans now as to where do you see scaling of this format?
Yeah, no, thank you. For, I think it's a very pertinent question. We have rejigged on the store expansion strategy for ethnic. Very clearly we are seeing that some of the stores which we had to rationalize were not yielding the results and did not have the potential to do so. So now the whole thought process very clearly is that these stores which are there, and we are careful in opening such stores which should do well. Second, we are also partnering with our TRSs as well as some of the large MBOs who can help us and support us in terms of our growth journey of the ethnics. So that whole big strategy of expanding a lot many stores, now we are rationalizing because at the end of the day, these stores were not giving the profitability or were losing a lot of money. Plus, it was a build-up of the inventory as well. So therefore, we are going on a very slightly different approach where the cost is lesser on us and more it is a distribution, which Raymond Group has been very, very successful by using the TRSs as well as the MBO channel.
Okay, so one follow-up here. One, is there a common thread to those underperforming stores? Is it a very area-specific thing or very market-specific thing? Any common thread that you can show? And second is that, would it imply now that the growth will be more via your TRS as an MBO store? So you will actually merchandise an ethnics portfolio in these stores. It will probably come at the expense of something else. So how do you, a little more granular detail on this aspect if you can.
So fundamentally, it will not in any manner cannibalize the other business or which is being sold into the TRS. Because traditionally what happens, a wedding customer comes to a TRS and a wedding customer comes to a TRS, he buys for 3-4 functions, he buys maybe for 2 functions, the suit fabric, and for the other two he can buy very well the ethnics. So there is no compromise either on the suit or on the ethnic one. However, as far as the format of the store EBOs are concerned, it's not that we are not going to open, we will continue to open the store, but we are being little bit more cautious that how do we open. And when I see the thread where it worked, I think some of the markets which we went, I think it was not delivering the results as anticipated, and that always happens. So in a new business, it is being felt that you have to be a little bit more cautious and careful in order to expand this network on our own, rather try to work with the partners with whom we have a long-term relationship.
Sorry, just another follow-up here. On these specific markets, were it more tier 2, tier 3 cities, because one of the other competitors also faced this issue and has pivoted to more metro tier 1 phenomena. Do you see a similar journey in EBOs panning out for ethnics as well?
Yeah, I think it is a common theme, because what happens is whatever we say, our ethnics is at the price point where tier 1, Tier 2 is very, very, becomes an affordable category. And then in terms of Tier 4 and 5, you have slightly lesser affordability and therefore the stores have not been able to do so well. So very clearly a similar trend across the country. Plus what is also happening is that in these smaller cities you are seeing a little bit of a boutiques, a small designer in a particular area getting developed who also caters to the needs specifically for that. So therefore, I think it was better to be staying in tier 1 and 2 cities, and that actually has been very clearly reflective in terms of our store deliveries.
Great, Amit. Thank you so much for answering these questions so patiently. I'll come back in the queue for any follow-ups. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sukrit D. Patil from Eyesight FinTrade Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Good evening to the team. My question is, as customer tastes are changing and more people are looking for premium lifestyle products, how is Raymond Lifestyle making sure its brand stays aspirational and still stands out amongst the crowd? Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you see, that has been the core of Raymond, a brand which has been in existence for 100 years. And with the turn of the fashions, which in my opinion changes every 10-15 years, Raymond has been relevant and stayed, especially in, if you talk about the worsted suitings, we have stayed at the top, a leader, market leader, by virtue of changing trends. And actually, the best part for us...
आपण ज्या व्यक्तीसोबत बोलत आहात, त्या व्यक्तीने आपला कॉल होल्डवर ठेवला आहे. कृपया लाईनवर राहा.
The person you are speaking with has put your call on hold. Please stay on the line.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You have put the line on mute.
Yeah, thanks.
Hello?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, so basically what has happened is that trend change we have been very clearly witnessing, and that has actually helped us to grow the business, and we are seeing it across. And even if you see on the apparel side, the whole introduction of casual range, semi-casual, semi-formal range is clearly an evident that we are changing as per the trend. The likes of the corduroys which we have launched in the Color Plus, and some of the chinos which we have brought in terms of different fits in the Color Plus, and Regio Italia. So all these, and the new product which I talked about in my opening remark, I think it is all reflective. The whole stretch business which we have launched, I think that reflects clearly that we are catering to the trend. And I have got Mr. Pappanna also.
I would like to add, you are absolutely right. The premiumization of the fabrics and the garments are taking place in a big way in India. We are seeing this trend even like smaller towns like Hajipur in Bihar and all these places. A high amount of high-value fabrics or high-value garments are being sold. So we are with the trend. We are continuously doing market research and getting the consumer feel from the market, as well as our TRSs are a very strong touch points as far as customer feedback is concerned. So we are working seriously on it. And if you might have visited our stores, you must have seen a lot of pastel sets and change in taste, which is required by Gen Z, is being incorporated. And we are getting good response. We also are getting a good response from MBOs. Now, earlier, our space in MBOs was little less. Now, the MBO space is growing by about 15%. And also, we are concentrating on our polywool, which is our main strength. And we are one of the few largest producers of the polywool products in India. So we are concentrating on it and gradually growing it. So we are on it. Thank you.
Yes, and my final question is, going ahead in the coming days, what cost planning or internal steps is Raymond taking to protect the margins, especially as input cost and sales channels are keeping on changing? Yes, sir.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, cost rationalization, we have like a mantra at our company. And we have demonstrated very clearly in the past that our consistent cost reduction drive, and actually I would not call cost reduction, I would call more cost optimization drive, has helped us. So in terms of looking, utilizing the plants, and if you see, my focus has been on the volume. The growth in the volume, we have got 5 manufacturing facilities. If you run your facilities at a full capacity or near full capacity, your cost of running those operations become lesser. And that is one clearly an efficiency gain which has been baked into the margins. And that we continue, our focus is to continue. And based on the bookings which we have seen for our fabrics business, we are very confident that over the next few quarters, our plants are going to run at a good capacity utilization level.
I think that's good guidance from your part. And I wish the entire team best of luck for the Q3.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chetan from Systematix Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a few questions. So firstly, can you tell us how the sleepwear and innerwear businesses are performing currently?
Yeah, you know, very simple, Chetan, that the innerwear and sleepwear, as we said, it is absolutely a new category. Sleepwear especially is absolutely a new category which is in the process of a build-up of a range, build-up of a segment. So I think it is going to take a little while we people start accepting in India that sleepwear is something which I need to buy to wear and to sleep with that. So I think that is a category building exercise which is a little long-term, mid to long-term exercise. As far as innerwear is concerned, I think we have decently placed our products across the counters, but we all know in the last 3 to 4 months there has been a significant challenge on this particular segment, product segment, and obviously we are not away from that. It is building okay. Can I say I am very, very glad that it has reached to the levels which we were expecting? Answer is no. But it is also to do with the market scenario. But what is being liked by the people, by the dealers, franchisees and such things is the product has come out very, very well, very comfortable.
Sir, and also would like to add here what Amit ji has said. We were already in innerwear, but we have restricted ourselves to TRSs. We were not going beyond Raymond shops. Now we see the potential in this category and expanding it beyond the TRSs and getting into the real innerwear market in a premium segment. So it will take time, but we are hoping that this category should do well.
Great, great, sir. Secondly, on garmenting, can you tell us, like, how much is the revenue coming from, say, from a top 3 or top 5 clients?
So, look, you know, it is a typically a B2B business. So, though we have got a customer base of more than 50 to 55 customers, but the top 3 customers would contribute easily 40 to 45% here.
Oh. Okay, got it. And so lastly, how has October been for the business?
No, October, you see, simple is that, you know, the September, all of us, 22nd till 22nd, everybody was on that whole thing that I need to see the GST change because the trader, you know, we sell primarily to the billing store franchisee dealers. So they were a bit apprehensive. And from October onwards, you have seen a little pickup with these guys. But on the other hand, till Diwali, the sales has been decent and it is absolutely normal. Every year in the last 30 years, we have seen that immediately after Diwali, there is a lull for a few days and then the wedding demand picks up. But we are very clear that the wedding bookings, what we have seen, especially on the fabric side, is strong. And therefore, we envisage this year to be a stronger year compared to the last year.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avinash Karumanchi from MOSL. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Good evening. So again, asking on the earlier participant question, can you just throw a little bit more comment on the demand side? So is it a more like because of the GST cut and income tax cut, you're seeing more recovery in the tier 2, tier 3 kind of cities better than metros? So how are you seeing that right now?
Okay, I think two things. One, you know, fundamentally the demand is improved two or three reasons. Last year was impacted big time because of the inflation, higher interest rates, people's disposable income and the salary increase or the wage increase was not that commensurate, but they were reeling under the old tight liquidity for a household because the EMIs had gone up or their expenditure on the day-to-day needs were higher. we clearly fall in the discretionary category. Now with both the income tax cut of that 1 lakh crore and the GST, now there is little bit more money in the hands of the consumer. And now that is something which we are getting the benefit of it. Second, in this year, people are very clearly seeing a good demand in terms of the wedding demand. And I think as you see, across the weddings are in a big buzz. And this festival also, if you see, the whole, shopping buzz on the streets in all the cities, be it a metro city or it is a tier 4 city, it was as well seen. So based on these, we have seen, and you look at our volume growth and clearly our revenue growth in the domestic business. Our domestic business has done exceedingly well. It is only the international business which had actually not performed as per our expectation, whereas the domestic business has performed in a double-digit growth.
Yeah, and also, if you would have seen, the sentiments across the country are very positive. I mean, people are now willing to spend. When you go for the wedding halls, all wedding halls are fully booked till, if barring a period of 15th December to 14th Jan, till May end, we are seeing good season. Also, you must have observed, Prime Minister is continuously insisting on buy Swadeshi. I think that mantra is gradually moving inside the country's hinterland, and we also feel that some positive sentiments will build up because of that also. So, all across, we are seeing a good season ahead. That's what I can say.
Okay, okay. And can you highlight something regarding the bookings also? Because our business is mostly into the distribution side. So, how is the response from the other partners that we are dealing with?
Good, very good response. Yesterday also we had a small booking of one collection, Emerald collection. Then we are having booking of shirting in Jaipur in coming month. The response is phenomenal, and dealers are, like earlier, we were forcing the dealers to come, but now voluntarily they are coming. And the deliveries which they wanted to have it in November or December, they are asking to prepone the deliveries and taking material from X stocks also. So we are seeing good booking, good season ahead, and good trade response.
Okay, okay, got it, sir. And the second question is regarding the branded apparel space again. So the margins, as you can see, they have taken a very big hit, mainly because we are reinvesting into the A&P spends or the marketing efforts. So how long do we expect this to continue, and when could this margins recover?
As I said, you know, in the last few calls, we have been consistently saying that we will, it is a build phase typically for the four brands which we have, and we have not invested or under-invested in the past few years. We have taken very clear path that we would invest behind the marketing, purely discretionary category. So you need to show, jo dikhta hai, wo dikhta hai. So therefore, we need to get that going. Second thing also, the margin has also taken a beating, because as we have opened more than 100 odd stores in the last, or 200 stores over the last two and a half years, which the anticipation was that it would become good break even over the quickly in 18-24 months, that is going to take longer, more like 36-42 months. So therefore, that impact is also baked into the branded apparel segment, because as it keeps on accumulating newer stores, the impact is getting built in terms of manpower and so on cost. So I would expect another 2-3 quarters it would take. This year and the next year is a strong build phase for our branded apparel segment, and then we see a good margin, as we have told, early double digit margins we should be able to see.
Okay, for this early double digit margins, what would be the scale that is required? So currently we are running at 400 odd crores on the branded apparel space quarterly.
So actually, you look, we are in that range of 500 odd crore. And if I look at it, because first quarter is typically weak always, and then the third quarter and fourth quarter is because of all the festival wedding season it picks up. So I think what we are looking at is, once you are in that range of 2500 crores, you should see the margins reaching to early double digits.
Sure, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Resha Mehta from GreenEdge Wealth Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My question again is on the ethnics portfolio. Could you highlight that what has been the growth rate specifically in the ethnics portfolio in H1?
So actually, you see, H1 ethnics is something which is not really a meaningful. It is close to 11%. But I think what is relevant is the second half, because the whole festival and the wedding season plays out in the second half. And actually, we are looking really forward that first few days of the Diwali thing has looked very well. But I think the true testimony would be in the next 2 quarters, how it pans out, because we have a good number of wedding days. And that is what we want to really see and tell that whole thing has worked out well in terms of our product offering, stores. And we have rationalized some of the stores very clearly, as we saw that the pickup would not be there based on the map, place where they are located.
And what was the size of this portfolio in FY25, the ethnics portfolio?
As I said, we had 149 stores. Now we are at some 139 stores.
I was asking in terms of revenues.
Last year it was close to 100 crores.
Okay, okay. So, you know, this 11% growth, while, you know, so this time, as I understand, the wedding dates have, you know, been pretty well spread out throughout the year. If we look at, you know, a women's sari wear retailer in South, you know, they've done almost 35% revenue growth in H1 of this year. So why is it that, you know, us or maybe even, you know, one of the larger men's ethnic wear peers are not seeing that kind of growth in the men's portfolio? Is it because, is it some region-specific issue that South has done phenomenally well, or is it some gender-specific issue that, you know, women's portfolio, women's ethnic wear or wedding wear, sari-oriented portfolio is doing well, but men's ethnic wear is not doing well?
Actually, you look at it, we have done a detailed work on this and we have clearly realized that the winter weddings are such where especially the men go out and keep buying the ethnic wear, and the larger urban weddings happen in the, in the winter side. Rather, the summer weddings are more on the rural side, and there people tend to have maybe one or two functions. Vis-a-vis, in this winter weddings, people tend to have 3, 4, 5, 6 functions where the usage of more ethnic wear comes into the place. So that has been always the case, and it is across the menswear industry. And, you know, we have been in this business for a long period of time. We have seen always that second half, the consumer comes in for the want of your festival purchases or the wedding purchases. That's a very classical pattern of consumption.
So you're saying this buying pattern is different for men and women?
Absolutely. I think men, we can say, women, it is difficult for me to make a comment.
No, fair.
Men, very clearly we are seeing that trend for last so many years. If you see traditionally, our first quarter numbers always has been the seasonally lowest for, I don't know, donkeys of years.
Right. And so it's got nothing to do with any region specific, right? Like for you, maybe the South men's ethnic wear portfolio did better than the rest of India or something of that sort. No divergence in terms of region as far as demand goes?
Not really, because I think in the South, the men's wear is a very different for the wedding. And in the North, West and East typically are these whole Sherwanis and all these things people wear, which generally tend to happen again because of the weather. It is in the second half of the year.
And also, if you observe it, it's the differentiation of North, South, East, West is not big one, because all metros and semi-metro towns, which are located all across, are having now cosmopolitan look across the country. So weddings now, the people who migrated from north to south, they do the weddings in south itself. So they don't come. So I don't see there is a major variation happens during this period, during these regions.
Got it, got it. And lastly, what would be the average selling price of our men's ethnic wear per piece?
Oh, it varies. So Sherwani would start from a 15,000-17,000 rupees, goes up to 85,000 rupees. A kurta set, a normal kurta set can start from 14,99 going up to 15,000 rupees. So, you know, this is a unique art business. Let us be very clear. Nobody would like to see if I am wearing a particular kurta, that the same kurta can be worn by somebody else. So I think, therefore, the whole number of SKUs and pricing, it is very, very different. It's very wide. You cannot really make an average. And the products are different. So you will have bandi, you will have a normal, then your bandalas, all sorts of products.
Understand. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Henil Bagaria from Equicorp. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I just had two, three quick questions. So the branded, on the garmenting side, so how do you see the current situation? I mean, there are a lot of garmenters actually working on, changing the cotton count and actually re-engineering the entire fabric and also talking with their customers because, this is one of the best season for sales in actually US and Europe. So how are things moving for us in terms of inquiries in case there is further reduction in duties? And if you could also explain what is the response from your customers or even the order side.
So two things. One, I think this change in cotton count and all is mostly what we understand is possible typically in the home furnishing kind of scenario. In a suits and jackets, in a shirt or a trouser, people are less accepting these kind of changes in the product mix. Because it is not that the India is the one only country which is supplying. It is the global world which is there to supply, and unfortunately because of the way it has come, it is we who are in a difficult spot. There are other countries who enjoy still a decent tariff compared to India. So to that extent, I think in our product segment, nobody would buy by compromising the product. As far as the numbers are concerned, I think a lot of people are on a wait and watch game. I think they are not really going out and placing the orders. However, considering there is a difference between a woven fabric and a knitted fabric, because in a woven fabric, you take your lead times are much longer. And therefore, what happens is, for the summer sale, some of the people have already started to shift their order books to some other countries, which should have come to us. So I think that is something which we have seen. However, there is also very clearly these customers have been working with us for last 15 odd years. So they are saying as soon as there is a favorable regime comes, we will be able to immediately give back some of the quantities back to you. So I think it is a clearly wait and watch game for all of us and even for the customers, because it is very difficult for even a customer who have been buying, let's say, 50,000 jackets suddenly changed from here to any other country to get the fabric, because we are one of the very unique situation. We have an integrated supply chain right from the fabric to the stitched garment shipped to their stores, so which creates a lot of trouble if you shift it from one place to another place. Maybe you will get garmenting somewhere. You may not get the integrated fabrics. So therefore, they also have a challenge. But considering 50%, I don't think so anybody would be in a position to pay. But and that is why you see in our business, the margins have been also impacted as some sharing had to be done in the second quarter for some of the orders.
So also, what are the kind of markups? Because if I see the low-value garments, usually the markups are 4-5x, and that is why I got to understand is some customers are actually taking it. Because, for example, if somebody is shipping a $2-3 apparel from Bangladesh to US, and if there's a 50% thing, it is just a dollar for them. Whereas if they're marking and they're selling, the shelf sell price is about, say, $10-$11, I don't think so. $1 is a very big thing. It's about 10-12%, 15%. So is that a similar situation for us, or is do we have to see the situation a different way?
No, it is the same situation, but I think what happens is, let us also understand, and I'm sure you guys are tracking also the US retailers. None of the US retailers are in that position. Though the markup looks very good, and we witness it in our, because we run a domestic business, and if I look at the products which we buy for our apparel business, there also the markup is very attractive. However, the kind of store cost, commission to the retailer, the whole advertisement spend, all the upkeep, plus also understand there is always, every business in the apparel has to send an end of season sale, discounted sale, all that put together actually does not deliver ever a 4-5x. It comes down to 2.5 to 3x, and then you have a big retailing cost. So therefore it is not that easy to say the 4-5x will start delivering even if you pay a dollar. And I can tell you in one of our other businesses that for a 10 cent difference between India, 22 cents difference, the customer has said, for the time being, I will move this product from here to Bangladesh. So if they are that, they have full teams. You would be surprised, these people are sitting with 500 people in India, 300 people in Bangladesh and all. So their whole job day to day as merchandisers is to watch out for every last cent.
Okay. So, and lastly, on the branded textile side, so last year, I think so, after H2, I think so, there were a couple of news in the market due to which, I mean, the actual consumption and the offtake actually reduced. And the channel inventory also actually fell down because no new orders were coming. So, so based on the actual busy wedding season that's actually coming in November, so how, if not alluding to the numbers, how is your, how are you seeing the response on your actual, on the actual orders and offtake on the branded textile side?
As you can see, the revenue grew by 17% in the first half. That reflects very clearly that the branded textile is doing well. We have seen a stronger booking. The customer offtake is there. The inventory correction has also happened. And we clearly see. Plus, what Mr. Pokharna alluded to, that some of the space in the MBO, which were being taken by some of the imported fabrics because of our unique fabric opportunity and the new collections which we have launched, we have been able to get back more into MBOs and gain back some of the market share.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitendra Pradhan from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. I have audible.
So yes,
continuing on the garmenting segment, so you alluded to the lead time being higher for the women fabric versus the knitted fabric and all. So supposing that, you know, the duty situation changes, so when can we see a turnaround? Will it be usually the orders and the inquiries and everything comes 2 weeks, two quarters prior, right? So what is the situation here, if you can, you know, give more color on that?
Yeah, so you're right. Normally it is a two quarter, but some of the customers, as I said, because of our relationship and because we run a large domestic business, fabrics is something which we have the availability. So we are in a position to expedite those orders. But broadly speaking, you're absolutely right. It is a two quarter game. Before two quarters, things do not change much, but we will be able to expedite some of the shipments. Can I get back to the absolute normalcy? Answer is no. It will take some time to get back to the normal cycle.
Got it. And I'm assuming that you are exporting more to the US markets than the European markets.
We are, but exporting to, because US has one big attractiveness, that the size of the order, that means the number of pieces the US customers buy, are much larger because the brands are just sheer very large. Whereas in Europe, every country has their own brands. And you know the population between US and, let's say, take Germany. Germany has got only 80 million people vis-a-vis US has got 330 million. So, and plus you have so many small countries with 32 million, 34 million population compared to a 300 million plus. So therefore, so some of the brands which exist and the retailers exist in the US are much larger retailers. So that gives us a larger order book, bulk volume, which helps us in terms of producing cost of production lower. and therefore we tend to do a larger business with the US.
Got it, sir. And most of our exports are which category? Like, will it be like on the premium side or on the, you know, discounted value side? Because there was some commentary that, you know, the Walmarts and all of them are doing kind of better than, you know, the high street retailers in US.
So, you know, with our product range, you know, the woolen fabrics, it is not just possible to come to a category of a $50 or $100 suit. We are very clear in a what should I say, mass premium segment. Like, we supply to top guys where they sell for $2,000 suit. So that category, if you see the duty and everything, it becomes very, very large. But at the end of the day, that is also an advantage, that such kind of people will not mind little bit paying more. So therefore, I think once the duty becomes in the range of this punitive of 25% goes away, I think we have a much better chance to come back strongly.
Yes, sir. Understood, sir. And the last one on the branded apparel. While I understand, sir, you know, the margin reduction, I understand because of the new stores and all, you still grew like almost 5%, you know, on your like net store basis year over year, right? You added almost, you know, 70 stores, adjusting for the closures and all. So, sir, like, you know, the 11% increase in revenue, so can you just explain, you know, what is the, like, you know, older stores or, you know, mature store revenue growth in this quarter? Like, were they in the mid-single-digit range or were they higher this quarter?
No, so mid-single-digit is absolutely right. Like-to-like stores is in the mid-single-digit revenue growth we have seen. But I think what is important is that the whole revenue in the branded apparel segment, it is only 25% which is contributed by the EBOs, which we are talking about. Rest is contributed by the MBOs, by the, our TRS channel and online channel. So that, where you are not really going out and increasing the stores. So our whole focus is especially going out on the MBOs and the TRSs. Now look at it. In the large and LFS, as well as the LFS channel. So in a large LFS channel, you first had maybe one brand or two brands. Now our focus is in the same LFS, same location, how do we add all the four brands? So I think you get optimization of cost and the brand visibility improves, which helps us to increase the sales and catering to all segments of society.
Got it. And the final one, sir, like what percentage of a portfolio within the branded apparel segment will have positive tailwind from the GST cut?
I think what has happened is, look, a lot for us is, say, in the end of season sale, you will get a lot of products coming below 2500. In a normal scenario, you would not have the products, significantly large number of products in the 5% category. So therefore, it is different. You cannot say exactly what is the category is above 25 or below 25. So a lot of products in 3,400. If you take a 25-30% discount, you immediately come to 2500, which becomes in the 5% category. So that testimony is to be seen now when we are going to have the end of season sale somewhere in December, January.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maitri from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, am I audible?
Yes, please.
Yeah, firstly on the marketing spends in the branded apparel, what sort of spends we had in the first half and how are we planning on going about for the second half and also for the next year?
Okay, so I would not call out exact number, but I would tell you only this much, that in the branded apparel segment, our increase in the spend compared to last year to this year in the first half has been more like 30-35% more. And in the second half, what we have spent in the first half, we are going to further increase by at least 20-25% more in the second half of the year.
Okay, so the second half will be 20% more than the first half, that we're expecting.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, you know, the season, the market, everything is there. At this point of time, you need to display your product, talk to your customers, visual merchandise, online communication to the people. So when you are about to make a decision on purchase, that time the product advertisement should be made available to you, and therefore yes. it tends to be second half more heavy on the sales promotion and advertisement.
Yeah, makes sense. Also, we are reaching reaching close to 500 crores of top line quarterly, and you also guided for about 2300 to 25 crores of yearly run rate. When do you expect this run rate to be achieved? Any sort of guidance on that?
I think I don't want to get into that guidance, but I would really say it will take another 2 years to get there in that kind of a time frame, 2 to 2.5 years.
Any sort of more additional on stores that you're planning? So we added a fair quite a bit stores. So are we planning on adding any more stores in the second half of this year?
So we will be very selective. How do we add the stores? And I would not say that we will just go out and add the stores. I would be very careful in adding the stores because we have a decent number of stores. Our focus would be that the existing stores become much more profitable and start delivering the revenue what is envisaged. And we will obviously not miss out an opportunity if there is a marquee mall which has come up, or we had the desire to open a store, the store was not available, suddenly there is a vacancy and we can get that store, we will definitely open that store. So I think we are being more, what should I say, watching out and with clearly a path to grow the stores, but also looking at effectively that it should start making sense. And mostly it will be moving towards franchisee run and managed stores.
Okay. On the branded fabric side, we saw 20% growth. Can we expect this similar run rate going forward for this year and next year, especially with the festive season coming in and also the wedding? You said we had quite a good amount of booking happening.
Yeah, so I think I would not call out exact number. It would be inappropriate to say that is a specific guidance. But I think very clearly we have seen good booking in the for the winter season as well as for the ensuing summer season. We have seen a good booking more in the range of 8-10% bookings, different product mix and product things. So I think we are very clearly reflective. And what you have seen, we will continue to push the growth in these segments. It is not just, and what is important is to see it is a volume-led growth and a market penetration growth. As I mentioned earlier, that some of the MBOs which were keeping some of the imported fabrics and such things, where we have gone and brought certain quality of fabrics which could replace them easily and at an attractive price point, so that we help to get our products into their shelves. And once your product is into the shelf, it stays there and you continue to do a replenishment and then slowly, slowly you build upon that. And I think that has been a big journey.
Yeah, thank you for the explanation. And on the garmenting side, this is the last question. We mentioned in the last call on the UK FTA, what sort of exports are we doing to the UK currently and how do we expect that to scale up?
So we are doing close to 150 odd crores of sales to UK. I think it has a very good potential to double itself in the next 2 to 2.5 years. And the reason why I'm saying very carefully 2 to 2.5 years, you know, it is still not enacted by the parliament. And till such time it gets enacted, it is only a sort of good agreement to have. Second, once it gets enacted, and I think the other gentleman who asked a question, that people start take 2 quarters in order to put together a proper collection. So let's say in the next 3-4 months it gets enacted, then you will take 2 quarters to get the collection, samples and everything approved. So I think most likely you would see in the 26-27, maybe in the second half of the year or the following year, the full benefit or the really the benefit coming for the UK FTA.
Okay. Oh, the 150 crores is yearly run rate, correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, that is it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ujwal Lal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I think we were also looking to target international retail for growth, especially in GCC countries. So how is the plan moving on that front?
So we have certain stores in the format of TRS as well as in the branded EBOs. But as I said, these are stores catering to the Indian diaspora, and we are selectively opening those stores through the franchisee route, and we are not opening our own company stores because it would be difficult to manage there, the company-owned store. So we are opening the franchisee-led store, and wherever we think appropriate, I think if I recall correctly, 50 odd stores we have, around 50 stores internationally we have of the TRS and EBOs put together.
Okay, and there has been significant increase in receivables from 900 crores to 1200 crores YOY. And one thing we also guided at the time of demerger that we want to target 60 days on net working capital. So what is leading to this, and will this improve in going forward in H2?
So I'll tell you, first of all, it is 31st of March, 917 crore goes to 1200 crore. And if you look at it, it is always, the build-up always happens by September as our dealer, franchisee, the wholesalers build up the network for meeting the demand in the festive season. So therefore, the second and the third quarter is truly the build-up happens. First, in first quarter, you build up the inventory. Second quarter and third quarter, you build up the receivable. And in the fourth quarter, you get all the collections from the customers. So that it comes always the third, 31st March of is always one of the lowest numbers in terms of the working capital. And you look, I think what has happened is 60 days, I don't think so. Our receivable is currently in the range of 67 days.
Okay, I was talking about the net working capital days, like which is at currently, I think, 105.
So 105. So I'll tell you, it will come down by 31st of March. But two things have happened. In the past, we did not have so many our own stores. And when you have so many of our own stores, the inventory which is sitting on those stores is clearly on your balance sheet, which is not going to sell. Because these are COCO stores, company-owned and company-operated. So inventory is on your balance sheet. Otherwise, people would have bought. And typically a retail store will carry 8-9 months. It will not have less than 8-9 months of inventory based on the turnover of the sales. Second thing, what is also happening, that in the export businesses, you are going out and changing certain terms because the customers want that way. The terms are being changed, which used to be an FOB is going to becoming LDP, duty paid delivered into those countries. So that is also making an increase in the receivable segment. So these are the two big reasons. And we believe that I think 60 odd days was one we did in 22-23. And after that, I think it is more like 80-85 days is a norm for this business because of the larger working capital requirement, especially the inventory in the business.
Okay, and if we exclude the increased marketing spends in branded apparel, how much better would have been the margins? If we, like, how much would have been that impact of increased advertising spends on the EBITDA margins?
No, so I will tell you that we did not say only the increased marketing spend, but we also said the impact of the increased number of stores, which is more than 100, the cost of that stores, running of that stores, has also impacted the margin. So the difference between the two, I think 50% is 50-55% is on advertisement and spend, and the other 50% is on account of the new stores which has been opened.
Okay, thank you very much. All the best for the second half.
Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much and look forward to talking to you in the next quarter. Really appreciate your interest in Raymond Lifestyle.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Raymond Lifestyle, Lifestyle Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.